Well, let us begin this evening's service with prayer. Let's all pray. Dear Lord, we do thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. We thank thee for thy day, to thy people, the very best day of the week. We thank thee that thou hast inclined our hearts to come up to the house of God. We seek, O Lord, that we worship thee in spirit and in truth. We do pray for those who would be here but are prevented. We ask that thou wilt bless them where they are, and those that listen in, that there may be blessings for us present in this house of God and those that listen online. And we pray that wherever thy truth is faithfully proclaimed this night and has been proclaimed during the day, that thou wilt get to thyself the honour and the glory that is due to thy great and holy name. So we plead thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless and crown thy gospel with success. We ask it in his precious, all-prevailing name, the name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen.
Very warm welcome once again to our evening service, and we do welcome again Mr. David Cottington to our pulpit, and we trust the Lord will again be his helper at this evening hour. All the hymns are from Gadsby's hymn book this evening, and our opening hymn number 41. Hymn 41 to the tune 834. My God, my Creator, the heavens did bow to ransom offenders and stooped very low. The body prepared by the Father assumes and on the kind errand most joyfully comes. Hymn number 41 to the tune 834.
My God, my Creator.
Turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hasten thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live for ever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Well, may the Lord bless the reading of his word and favour us as we further sing his worthy praise.
Continue now with our second hymn, 777, and the tune is Darwell's 537. Hymn 777, once more the constant sun revolving round his sphere, his steady course has run, and brings another year. He rises, sets, but goes not back, nor ever quits his destined track. Hymn number 777.
Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God, we do thank thee that We poor sinners of the earth are so privileged, so favoured to approach unto Thee, a thrice holy God. We bless Thee, O Lord, that though we are poor and needy, that we are sinful, and that Thou art a thrice holy God. And yet, O Lord, we have this way of access whereby we can approach unto Thee. Lord, we thank Thee that we come in that precious, lovely name, that all-prevailing name, the name of Jesus. We thank Thee, O Lord, that He laid down His life a ransom for sinners. We bless Thee, O Lord, that He suffered the just for the unjust. Lord, we thank Thee that, as we have read, as David was favoured to be brought to that place, to be blessed with those revelations of the Holy Spirit, to pen those sacred truths. And Lord, we thank Thee that he could see, as Lord, he suffered whilst here upon earth, as he was pursued by King Saul, and Lord, and knew much trouble and sorrow, and would often no doubt feel to be forsaken even by his God. But he was favoured to look to the coming Redeemer, and to see him as his substitute, suffering in his room, place and stead, and forsaken of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so, dear Lord, we come blessing thee for that unspeakable gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus. Thank thee that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Lord, we thank thee that we have the Word of God, and that he speaks to us through that precious Word, as our souls are fed and nourished. And we are blessed again on this, the first Sunday of a new year, to come again around thy Word, and desiring that we be fed. And so we ask that as we have been brought to another year, that we may consider all the way that the Lord our God has led us. And Lord, and it has been a wilderness way, and yet our paths have been strewn with blessings. And Lord, we thank thee that that as we journey onwards, that we come pleading that precious promise that was given to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, and as he was to say, well, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And so thou didst favour him and bless him. And Lord, and we are journeying onwards, and we plead, O Lord, that thy sacred presence, thy help. And Lord, we ask that we may be enabled then to seek, O Lord, to know and to do thy will. We ask that thou wilt continue to bless and favour this house of God. We commit to thee each one. And Lord, we especially pray for those who are absent. Lord, there are the younger ones that are away, and we commend them to thee. We pray for those who hope to be married during this year. Lord, we pray that thy richest blessing, and we do pray, O Lord, for Steve and Phil, that thou wilt comfort them in their afflicted state. And we thank thee, O Lord, for that grace that is evident. And we do pray that thou wilt bless them and sustain them, Lord, in it all. And dear Howard and Jill, O Lord, as Lord, Thou hast called them to walk this path that was not once looked for. And Lord, and so we commend both our brethren, the deacons, to Thee, and their beloved wives. We pray, O Lord, for Johnson and Fay. We pray for Michael. We pray, O Lord, for James and Harriet and dear little Elsie. Oh, how we thank Thee, O Lord, for the young ones, for Benjamin, O Lord. And so truly Thou art good. And we ask that we may not let these mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. So as we come, Lord, to Thy word, we pray that, Lord, that we may not do despite to Thy word, that, Lord, we may be favoured, O Lord, shown, O Lord, that which is in Thy word, to reveal those things new and old. And we thank Thee, O Lord, that whenever we come to Thy word, Lord, as we seek that light upon the truth, that, O Lord, Thou art pleased to take a little more of the scales from our eyes and to reveal those things to us and to help us on our way. And so we pray then, dear Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thy people as they gather, Lord, on the coming Wednesday for prayer, and then as they gather with Thy servant on Thy day, all subject to Thy will. And we pray that as the year may unfold, that there may be great things done in this house of God and indeed in Zion at large. We pray, O Lord, for the Mombasa mission, blessing Thee for what Thou hast done, and pray that Thou wilt uphold Sam and Hannah and Henry and Miller and Millie in this great work, along with their families. We pray, O Lord, for every good work, thanking Thee then for Thy goodness and Thy mercy, and pleading with Thee for our land, Lord, once known as the land of the book, but now sadly departed and become very much a secular nation. Lord, have mercy, we pray, and would it not please Thee to ever retain our gospel liberties? We pray that we may be much in prayer regarding this. So, Lord, do hear us then in heaven, Thy dwelling place. Do make up in giving where we do so fail in asking, to comfort the bereaved, to heal the sick where it is Thy will, prepare for eternity, and Lord, and prepare us each for Thy heavenly mind and will, and Lord, and may we be blessed, O Lord, to seek to know and to do Thy will, and Lord, and to be blessed with that sacred submission to know and do no will but Thine. So hear us then in heaven, Thy dwelling place. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Wash us in the precious blood of Jesus, we ask, for His dear name's sake. Amen.
Continue now by singing hymn number 690, 690, to the tune Pembroke 719. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left His native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, His wonders see, His sermons hear, and think Him nothing worth. Hymn number 690, to the tune 719.
Seeking the Lord's help for a little while this evening and your very prayerful attention, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41 and reading verse 14. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This morning we sought to speak, as we took for our text, verse 10, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And we notice that there is this court scene. Indeed, it has been said that the whole chapter represents a court scene. There is the declaration of to the people of the Lord's mercies and his promises and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. And there are the idols. There are the idols on display. There are the idols on display, and they are in opposition. And such is the state of the religious world, as well as those of the world itself. And so the people of God, they meet with much opposition. But as we notice this morning, that there are these precious fear nots, these I wills, as has been said, that this chapter is the great I will of the Word of God. And there are those reasons to fear not, as he sets forth in those verses of past, present and future. In verse 8 he says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." And so then we have for the present, for the seed of Abraham, for the present, that in text this morning, for the present, fear thou not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so the reasons to fear not are these precious truths of those past, present and future. Future as in our text of verse 10 and also of verse 13, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And in verse 14 that we've taken for our text, "Fear not, fear not." Oh, the future looks so foreboding. No, fear not, fear not. I've taken care of the future. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. He sees us. He sees us as we are, a poor, needy, wretched, helpless, despised. And he sees us in Christ, as we read this evening in that beautiful, sacred Psalm 22, "For I am a worm and no man. Fear thou not, fear not thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." And then he goes on to promise what seems almost impossible. It is impossible to human reasoning. "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff." And so he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob. And you may well be saying tonight, "But I have every reason to fear." I have every reason to fear. But God, oh dear friends, a holy, heart-searching God, He who knows the hearts of each one of us, and He knows those fears, He knows those forebodings, He knows our situation. He sees that as the going is getting tougher, as we come, as we mentioned this morning of Hezekiah, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And we feel to be like a dead man before it, just like a dead man can do nothing for himself. He's at the mercy of the undertaker. And that may be how you feel tonight in that which you're in, that which you're anticipating. But God transforms. God transforms. There is nothing. He is the God of the impossible. Our lives are transformed. Have they not been transformed? That as He was pleased to bring us to godly sorrow and repentance, a humble, contrite heart, He turned us round from going down to the pit of hell. He plucked us out of that broad way and planted us, favoured us, turned us round to the way, that narrow way that leads to bliss. An impossible situation, humanly speaking. Had it been left to us, we would have still been going headlong into an eternity in hell. But our lives were transformed, weren't they? They were transformed by the Holy Spirit, by that underground work that was going on. And He made it plain, didn't He? He made it plain that though we were looking for hell, He sent us heaven. And so we see that it was all of His grace. And so as there is this situation now that Isaiah is speaking of, he's prophesying this captivity, and the people will be in captivity for 70 years. But our God, His ways are past finding out. Do you find that now, in your lives now, that the Lord makes a way where there seems to be no way at all? And He transforms the situation. It could be in a moment, can't it? Completely unlooked for, as it was unlooked for as He brought you into the trial, into the crucible. Oh, the heat was so hot that you felt that you would perish in it all. And yet He made a way, didn't He? He made a way, as He made a way for these His people, taken into Babylonian captivity because of their sins. And that's a wretched place to be in, isn't it? When you know that you've been brought into a trial because of your sins. But He makes a way, doesn't He? An impossible way. Why, He raises up this Persian. He names him well over 100 years before it actually happens. But He names him that I'm going to raise up Cyrus. And he's going to overcome Babylon. Oh, He makes a way where there seems to be no way at all. Our God is in control. Oh, nothing in the idols, nothing that these who were seeking to encourage one another in their graven images, in their idols, in their opposition to the cross, in their opposition to the people of God. Nothing was worthy at all. Oh, as Isaiah says, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're less than nothing. less than nothing. And doesn't he bring us into that? Blessed be his name, where all of these oppositions, they're flooding in against us. And we say they'll be the death of us. We come with dear old Jacob, don't we? We'll come down to our grave in sorrow. And yet he appears in a most miraculous way. Oh, and we understand, don't we? As he favoured us, didn't he? He favoured us. He took the scales from our eyes as he brought us into want. And we were favoured, weren't we, to be brought to understand that it was nothing of us. We merited nothing but shame, disgrace, and ultimately an eternity in hell. But oh, what's our testimony tonight? Well, it's salvation, isn't it? Salvation, this redeeming God. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. How precious, isn't it? What a transformation. A poor, helpless, weak, despised worm could do nothing for himself. He's at the mercy of everything. Oh, you only have to be in the garden, don't you, for a little while. And the friendly little robin, he comes along and he's so friendly, isn't he? But the moment he gets sight of a worm, he's there, isn't he? And nabs it and he's gone. And so it is with the people of God, isn't it? That it seems as though one more trouble and I'll sink completely. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be blessed to know no will but the will of God, to embrace it, and I hesitate to say it really because I wouldn't wish to cause distress to anyone who may be in a trial, perhaps in a long-term trial or a shorter term, and perhaps it would be great to say, but have you sought by God's grace to embrace the situation? An example, we were favoured several years ago to be in the company of those who weren't of our persuasion, but there was a godly couple there. There was a godly couple, and their son, who was the headmaster of a school in Seaford, that he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a rapid cancer, and he was married with two young children, and they went to church on the Sunday morning, and they came home, and his wife settled him in the garden and went in to make a cup of tea, and when she came out, he'd gone to glory. And his dear mother, she said, well, we were so distressed, but then we were so blessed that the Lord in his mercy drew us so close to him that instead of fighting his purposes, his dealings, that we sought by his grace to embrace them. Didn't take away the pain. Didn't take away the heartache, didn't take away the sorrow, but as the hymn writer puts it, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. So he's a redeeming God, isn't he? And we find that, don't we, that as we pass on through this waste howling wilderness and troubles increase and they're diverse and they're totally unexpected, and yet we find, don't we, that he gives more grace. There's a little hymn, isn't there? I can't think how it goes now. Something like, he gives more grace when the going gets harder and tougher. You probably know it. And that's how precious he is, isn't he? He sustains us. He sustains us. Though we're weak, we're despised. We're like a despised little worm. But we're in good company because our Jesus, he said, didn't he, in that psalm that we read, Psalm 22 and verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord.'" Well, perhaps you're in a situation like that tonight, friends. It might be someone close to you. Perhaps you've had fellowship with them in the past. But now you're at opposite ends of the scale, it seems. And you have to put up with some hard things. Oh, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Well, much more than, isn't it, than raising up Cyrus. How precious that was, wasn't it? How precious. This king, Cyrus, raised up to be a deliverer. But much more precious is that one precious Jesus. Oh, much more the good tidings of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. A deliverer raised up, a noble name. Oh, greater powers by far than the deliverer Cyrus. Yes, he was raised up to deliver the Jews from captivity. But this our God says of his people, that they're nothing but worms. But he says, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument. Having teeth, thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Well, how can a worm move mountains? How can a worm move mountains? By God's transforming power. However weak, however despised, however helpless, however sinful we are, however much we resemble a poor little despised worm, he, our God, is a transforming God. The feeble become strong. Oh, they become courageous. They're victorious. There's that miraculous change in Christ, isn't there? Hey, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. There are those glorious prospects now, aren't there? Though we're still in enemy land, though the situation may not have changed, and yet we now have this glorious prospect. Oh, and so to be favoured and to be helped, it's so easy, isn't it, dear friends? And the enemy would have it so, just like these ones that sought to encourage one another with their idol worship. And you'll have those that are seeking to encourage others, perhaps, to see that you never rise again. And friends, and we could be left, couldn't we, to sit down in despondency And sometimes we do. But oh, to be favoured not to sit down and view these mountains, but to view Christ, but to view our Redeemer. Oh, to seek and to hear him, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thresh mountains? A worm thresh mountains? Oh, could you ever comprehend a worm overcoming Mount Everest? Why, an impossible situation. But in our lives, mountains rise, don't they? Impossibilities, as a little worm coming up out of the ground and seeing Mount Everest, an impossibility. Oh, but our sorrows in the scales he weighs. He measures out our pains. Oh, our hopes are dashed, aren't they? We suffer losses, crosses, sickness, redundancy. Oh, and what a path these things are. Oh, in the family, in the church. Afflictions of various sorts at the body, at the mind, at the soul, loved ones. Oh, and Satan would have us to gaze on these mountains, because they are mountains, aren't they, that are brought into our pathway. But he says, look to Jesus. Fear thou not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Friend, are you and I, are we mountain gazers? Or do we seek by God's grace to be saviour gazers? Are we mountain gazers, or are we seeking by his grace to be saviour gazers? To seek to trust him. He will not deceive us. Oh, persecutions to the church will come. Sickness will come. Bereavements will come. We've entered a new year. We know not any of us what this year will unfold. But as we do come into trials and troubles of various sorts, and we will do, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards. But oh, to be favoured, to seek, to be saviour gazers, to plead this, fear thou not, worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, you say, but I'm helpless in this. It's a hopeless situation. I'm devastated. I'm weak. I'm totally debilitated. I'm disillusioned. Oh, to be favoured, Lord, let me in all of this, as they're pulling me down, as I seem to see nothing but a helpless, hopeless situation. But oh, favour me to look, to gaze upon Jesus, to gaze upon him, to gaze upon my Saviour, to gaze upon my Redeemer, to hear him say, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." I believe in Isaiah, in the prophecy of Isaiah, he refers to our Redeemer, to fear not, I am thy Redeemer. He refers to it in various ways throughout this prophecy, no less than 24 occasions. Oh, he's our Redeemer. He's his people Redeemer. Friends, he's our next of kin. He's taken on flesh, as we sung earlier on this evening. He's dwelt among us. He has the right to redeem. He has the right to redeem. Not the duty to redeem, but his right. It's his right to redeem. And as he redeemed a poor sinner from going down into the pit of hell, so it's nothing to him to redeem us from these situations that he brings us into, and to transform the situation and to deepen the work of his grace within us. Oh, you take dear Ruth and Naomi. They were turned down, weren't they? They were turned down, but, oh dear Ruth, she was nothing, was she? A Moabitess. Oh, her mother-in-law says, "No, you stay with your people. No, thy people's God shall be my God." An impossible situation, but Boaz. Oh, Boaz, out of delight, he gave her all that he could provide. And so a precious Jesus, I eventually decided on that 95th hymn for us to close with, that he, yes, the Redeemer, left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and to die. A Redeemer. He out of right and love, Boaz identified himself with Ruth. Hers was a hopeless, helpless condition. And friends, and yours and my condition was such, wasn't it, that there was this mountain of sin, and it was bringing us down into an eternity in hell. And we had nothing we could do to redeem ourselves. Ruth and Naomi, they were paupers, weren't they? They were paupers. But Boaz identified himself with their poverty. He claimed Ruth as his own. And he paid all of her debts. Oh, much more. Oh, that the heavenly Boaz. "Fear thou not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Poor, weak, broken sinner, Jesus redeems. Fear not, thy Redeemer. He is thy Redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. Oh, and as the people in this court scene, they're surrounded by a mighty army, surrounded by these foolish ones who've made and trusted in their gods. But he says, as you and I are surrounded by the various opposing armies, by oppositions of various things, of various sorts, he says, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Oh, when a holy God, when a redeeming God makes a poor sinner broken, he breaks a poor sinner, he does it well. He does it well. He doesn't do it by half measures. Breaks a poor sinner. Friends, and he said, but I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Oh, you will beat the mountains. You'll beat the mountains and the hills. You'll make them small. Oh, you won't do it in your own strength. I am with thee. I am with thee in this. Oh, you have a friend. Who sticks closer than a brother born for for adversity. And so what a transformation from a helpless, hopeless, despised worm, fearful of every little thing which appears to be a mountain, that he transforms to a new sharp threshing instrument. And so he favours, it's in quietness and in confidence shall be thy strength. And he blesses with a holy confidence, a filial fear, that knowing, being favoured to have this revealed in the Word of God, in the Word of God, and applied as he effectually called you out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light, and as at this the Word of God is your meat and your drink, so he reveals to you that he will deal with these mountains of sorrow and grief that he now brings us into as we pass through this waste howling wilderness. Oh, it's a mountain of intimidation, isn't it? But Jehovah is our Redeemer. Fear thou not, worm Jacob, yes, you have myself, a precious Jesus, your brother, born for adversity. You have me. I, a poor worm, a despised, brought down from the glory of heaven, a thrice holy God, ever united, and yet left the realms of glory, lost none of his deity, but took upon human flesh, as we sought to bring out a couple of weeks ago, to be favoured to follow him from the womb of Mary to the cross, and to see him there making an atonement for our sins, our Redeemer. Redeeming that impossible situation. And to view him crying, it is finished. It is finished. No longer do my people have to face an eternity in hell, for I've done it. I finished the work that I was given to do. I have redeemed that situation. I am a propitious God who must deal with sin, wouldn't be a just God. But I have taken on that as a propitiator, and I have taken the punishment instead. That which would have been an eternity in hell, poor worm Jacob. The situation so transformed that heaven is now in view. But the way is a narrow way. And there are many foes in the way. And we still have our own wretched hearts. But I am with thee, Israel passing through the fire. And friends, on this new sharp threshing instrument is clothed in the word of God. As Paul sets it forth for us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so this threshing instrument separates the chaff from the wheat. Oh, as the instrument separates, and the chaff and the wheat is thrown into the air, and the chaff blows away in the wind, never to be seen again. And so he says to you and I tonight, let go of those things that perplex and tease you. Let go of these things. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let nothing intrude. By his grace, plead that which dear Abraham was favoured with, as the Lord revealed these precious truths to him, as he said to him in Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will, all these I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the earth be blessed. And so, dear friends, in this day in which our lot is cast, oh, as we are crushed at times by looking at the mountains, plead that precious promise, I will bless you, I will curse those that curse you. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. I will make you strong, I will bless you with teeth of faith. Gaze upon the one who with his finger created the mountains. Gaze upon him, a glorious truth. Oh, friends, you won't fan the mountains alone. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. And so there's this overwhelming joy. The situation has been transformed as you witness, you testify. Oh, you have this prospect, don't you, as we finish this morning, to be favoured with those new bodies, to be favoured to be forever with the Lord. And to seek that whatever cross lies at our door in this year, that we might understand that it's come from the Lord.
and not a single shaft, as we sung this morning, will hit, until the God of love, and remember, it is in love, it's not in anger, until the God of love sees fit. Oh, this prospect of heaven. Thou shalt rejoice in the Lord. Oh, this the Holy One of Israel. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Oh, he left the realms of glory. He is our substitute. Fear not. Oh, as Isaiah says in the 40th chapter, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Friend, saved by grace. Oh, vile, helpless, weak, a sinner, such a sinner, brought into fellowship with Christ. Brought into fellowship with Christ, and on the way to this everlasting kingdom, to be with Christ, which is far better. And so in these storms, in these times of affliction, of sorrow, he's with us, dear friend. He's with you. He's with you in it. He'll pour in the balm to comfort. Those fear nots, they're wrapped in comfort. He'll see you through. Having redeemed your soul from going down into the pit of hell by his precious blood, he'll redeem all the situations in which he's pleased to bring you in. And as Paul says, as he opens his second letter to the Corinthians in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, remember it's the sufferings of Christ, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Amen.
Stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. Hymn number 95, tune 182.
Did the
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all. Amen.